the one thing that the Pharisees don't do anymore is ask Jesus any more questions. Instead, they take a little time to try and figure all of this out. I understand that. I more than once in my life have walked away from Jesus and just for a little while to say, wait a minute, I'm not sure about all of this. In all honesty, saying, I'm too afraid of whatever it is you're asking of me. If we're lucky, we walk away saying, no, no, no. But we turn around and say yes. Sometimes we just say no. Why do we have such fear of the greatest commandment? Why do we have such fear of loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and loving our neighbors? Why do we allow ourselves to be so blinded by fear that we don't see the simplicity of it? Why do we allow fear to prevent us from seeing that loving God with all that we are is life-giving and not life-taking? Alice McKenzie says that the Pharisees' goal was to make a fence for the law. In other words, to protect it from infringement by surrounding it with specific rules of interpretation and application to daily life. Putting so many rules around the law that we forget what the law is all about. Look at so many of the rules on our books today. Right now, how many of them, we don't even have the slightest idea what they were about in the first place. But they're still there to protect us from something. But what? Something that maybe one person did that puts rules in place to protect? When we used to go to mission trip down in the valley, we stayed at the Valley Retreat Center. And the girls and I always had a big laugh about the fact that there was a big sign, all the years we went there, a big sign on the back of the bathroom door that said, "Don't flush underwear down the toilets." Who does that? But it was a rule. Don't flush underwear down the toilets. Well, my opinion was it probably gave them more people the idea to do it than ever had the idea in the first place. Sometimes the burden put on people are for no real reason except it's a rule. We do it today. We use laws to wall people off from God. Let's say they can't be a part of our church because they're doing this or they're doing that. Yet everyone who walks through the doors of this church don't deserve to be here. Not because of what we are or aren't doing, but because God loves us in spite of ourselves. All of us, everyone. That's why I absolutely love the call to worship. And we've been saying, and in worship planning, we keep saying, do we want to change it? And I keep saying, no, I really don't. I don't want to change it until every person here has it memorized in their head. I don't want to quit saying it until I think it about my very home. Make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and friendship, but narrow enough to shut out envy and pride and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back our fears. God, make the doors of this house the gateway to your eternal kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't write it. I really wish I had. But I want it to be ingrained in me. That's what Matthew was trying to say in this scripture. Stop. It's very simple. Stop trying to make it so hard. It is about loving God. We're called to love our neighbors, and I fear we place fences up between ourselves and our neighbors. Not because we need them, but because we fear that we might need them. We build fences because we don't want the responsibility of dealing with our neighbors. I don't have time. What if they want too much from me? What if they have messy yards and I have to look at it? What if they try to come on my property? What's the saying? Good fences make for good neighbors? It's not the truth, is it? Fences cut us off from people. Seldom do we build fences because we need them. We build them because we fear we will need them. God doesn't build walls or boundaries or fences. People do that. And those fences prevent us from seeing God. And sometimes they prevent others from seeing God in us. There's a beautiful video I came across just yesterday, and I couldn't resist showing it to you today. I want you to listen to it closely. The words are sometimes hard to hear, but I will start off by telling you the little boy is off to find God. Choir, I'm sorry you can't see it. If you can see right here, you can get a little piece of it. Isn't that beautiful? I told Kevin when I got here this morning, I showed him, I said, I really just want to show the video and sit down. Because that says it all, doesn't it? It says it all. I wonder how often we don't see God in our lives because we build walls between ourselves and the person sitting on the bench next to us. I think one of the most beautiful things about this video is that the little boy and the woman both felt like they had spent time with God. Both seeing God in the other. What would have happened if that little boy had stayed home? What would have happened if that mother had stopped the little boy? What would have happened if he hadn't shared his Twinkies? What would have happened if the woman had taken the Twinkies and left? When we step over the boundaries that the world tries to place, and we see each other with open eyes, when we allow the fears of the world to just be put aside and love people, we see God, and the bonus is that very possibly they see God in you. We come to this table. No boundaries. It is a boundary breaker. No limits on who can come here. If you want to receive the gift of Christ, it is open to you. No fences, no walls, no boundaries. You just have to receive it.